Super Gamecast 64, episode 104. Today on the show, we got so much stuff to talk about. A lot of Nintendo Switch things. Canada Walmart accidentally leaked all of E3. Is so much stuff. But before we get into the show, it's Kevin, hit the DJ.
You know, I think we'd be mad at Canada if they weren't so nice. But, you know, the best DJs come from Canada.
That's what I heard. And that was a good DJ. That was
I'm trying to switch it up a little bit, you know.
That was a good theme song.
Yell at DJ every week.
Welcome to Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
Yanny.
Laurel.
No, I'm Yanny.
No, you're Laurel. No. That's Kevin. Also, Tyler. Tyler's out for the episode, but we got a very special guest. First time on Super Gamecast 64, it's younger Dan Owen. Dan, what's up?
Hello. I'm not much. I'm doing good.
Dan's
glad
doing
to be
good.
Here.
Dan, when you talk at the mic, project your voice. It's real easy.
Don't be shy.
He's learning. It's good. Yeah, guys. Usually we start off with little jokies. Some little jokey bit. Dan is going to be going to Japan very soon.
It's very true.
I thought...
Dan in Japan.
Yep. Dan, top three things you wish to see in Japan. I'll start. I wish Dan will see a geisha ceremony with the tea, and it'll be delicious.
I hope he sees one of those giant Pikachus. Like, have you ever seen that video of the one deflating? Kind of like that. Like,
is it like the giant rubber duck they have in Canada, but it's just a giant Pikachu that floats?
Oh, isn't there a park where there's like
Gundams?
No, that's Elon Musk's backyard. No, there's like a park where there's like a bunch of giant anime statues, anime girls. Like one of them's like bridging over a road.
Kevin,
you have to like walk on.
Is this a real thing or is this just from your dream journal?
It's my dreams.
Okay. So for real Japan stuff, Dan, what are you most excited to see in Japan?
I think with all of my anime knowledge and cultural knowledge of Japan,
he knows all about anime.
The thing I'm looking forward to the most,
yeah,
is big old anime girl vendors. It's I'm really
yes.
I'm excited about the stuff I'm going to buy. Honestly. I wanted to go to Tokyo Tower to visit the One Piece theme park, but that's unfortunately not happening, so that would be my number one. I would love to go to Akihabara.
Wait, hold on. What kind of rides do they have at the One Piece theme park?
Well, it's not necessarily...
Do you just walk in and they give you, like, they give you a target and they're like, alright, you gotta steal all the shit you can.
They're like, you are the pirate, this is the One Piece of...
Is there a Luffy bounce house?
I would hope so. It's just all his body and you're just bouncing in it. It's kind of like each room is, like, devoted to something else from the show, so there's no really, like, theme parks or rides. You get, like, some themed restaurants, and,
I hear they have one of the a Pokemon museum is kind of like that, too.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's museums for, like, the Studio Ghibli stuff, Pokemon. I mean, I'm sure you could find a museum for just about anything.
So, besides the One Piece, what else? There's gotta be, like... something food wise, and there's gotta be something, like, gaming wise that you gotta see. If you only had a day... What would be if you had one meal in Japan?
Karaoke.
That's not. You can't eat words.
Yes, you can.
You can eat your own words. Okay, yeah, Dan.
I would go to a host club and eat all the cute boys.
Eat their asses?
Yes.
It's me, Dan Owen from America.
Now, I would really like to go to Akihabara, which, for anyone that doesn't know, is like the big electronics video game. It's just like an entertainment area.
It's where they sell all the games.
I would really love to go north up to Hokkaido. It's a little bit more like rural, not super central Japan.
I think I visited that in the Nintendo 64 game, Mystical Ninja
Quest
Geomon.
64.
I was going to say Quest 64. That's crazy. Hey. But
you guys are on the same page.
You should go to Terrace House.
I was actually going to get a spiky blue wig and just kind of hump in the air as I traverse Japan and just do a lot of hoi hois.
And wear like a red one onesie.
Yes, play the dragon flute and have a little like cyborg
that's
ninja.
That's a very deep cut. If you've never played, if you've never played Mystical Ninja Geomon for Super NES or N64, no, you really should.
It's a good game.
It is.
So Dan's gonna be going to Japan. Maybe we'll have Dan back on the show, like E3-ish stuff, and we'll ask him how the trip went because they're gonna be there for like what, 2 weeks, right, Dan?
2 weeks.
2 weeks full of the Eastern culture.
You're gonna know like all of Japanese by then.
He's gonna back and he's just gonna fully know Japanese. So without further ado, let's get into news. There hasn't been a ton of news, except for when there has been a ton of news.
It's been a slow month.
Before E3, you get some like a little sprinklings of announcements before the actual E3 announcements. But usually it's pretty quiet. To start things off with, it's not really news. It's more of a release. You remember our friends, Mighty Rabbit, the developers over there, the Saturday Morning RPG?
Yes.
They released Saturday Morning RPG for Nintendo Switch. And it's just our duty as Super Gamecast 64 and friends of the developers. You guys should check out that game.
You know what you said.
What?
You know what you just said.
What?
Friends? It's duty.
No, it's not duty.
Look, my brother-in-law came to me this weekend. He's like, hey, I saw the Saturday Morning RPG on Switch. Is it any good? And I'm like, hey, it is good. We reviewed that.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's one
really
of those
great anecdote that's that what I'm known for.
Yeah, no. Kevin always brings like really, really deep, deep conversations to the show. He doesn't waste anybody's time with stupid shit. but no, Saturday Morning RPG, if you like turn-based, Dan, you played this, didn't you?
Yeah, I played it on PS4 when it first came out.
So it's like turn-based with a little bit of like mini game. It's G.I. Joe. Is the story almost.
I was trying to think. I mean, it's kind of like, isn't it like Paper Mario-esque where, you know, there's like the time button presses.
Yes.
It's a little, it's like a babyish RPG kind of.
That's what's up.
Yeah, but it's good. So if you're looking for an indie RPG, you know, you don't want to spend 100 hours on Monster Hunter Generations or whatever that got announced for Switch. You want something a little bit more basic. Try out that Saturday Morning RPG. And that's our one plug for the day. So that'll be $5 million, Mighty Rabbit Studios. I'm just kidding. More Switch stuff, though. This is kind of important. We were talking about this back when they announced it last year, that the Nintendo Switch would have a full online service like PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. They came out and they detailed, and I'm going to throw some of these facts at you, and you guys tell me what you think. So to have Nintendo Online, it is going to cost. Let's just guess. Do you guys know the prices yet?
No.
All right. Kevin, give me your guess for 1 month of Nintendo Online.
$5.
Four. And now based off of that,
I'd have paid 50.
Based off that, now Dan, give me your guess for a year. If it's $4 a month.
$4 a month, I would say, what, like 50 or 45 a year around there?
You are so close, it's actually $20.
Oh what? Wow. For a year?
Yeah. Yes, so it is $4 USD for a month, $8 USD for 3 months, and $20 USD for a year. You can also get a 12-month, quote, family membership for $35, and the person who owns that family membership can invite up to 7 others to join the family group. And so we'll see how all that stuff kind of works out, but the interesting stuff about this is they are going to have, well, what they said is they're going to have 20 NES games when it starts off. Remember how they said they were going to do like this Netflix of NES games kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 20 on there to start, and then they're going to be adding more. They got most of the classics like Super Mario Brothers 3 and Legend of Zelda and that kind of stuff. The cool thing is that you're going to be able to play online, kind of like with the PlayStation, how you can pass off the controller virtually. People can spectate you while you play NES. You can pass the controller. So that kind of stuff sounds cool. But what I'm wondering, guys, is if you had the choice, what would be your one NES game that you would want? Now, keep in mind that you can pass off controller. There's online play now. What I know this is it's kind of on the spot. But if you could pick one NES game.
I think I've got it.
Dan's got it.
It would be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I would never play it and constantly pass and just watch people hate their lives.
That is a really, really good idea. I never thought about using the service for bad. I'm more of the superhero kind of type. Dan is more of the supervillain. Yeah, but I guess, well, you know what? Jekyll and Hyde is pretty terrible, but there's got to be a worse NES game.
Batman Returns.
Is that a good or bad?
Bad.
The
or
only
Scooby-Doo.
Ooh, Scooby-Dooby-Doo wasn't on NES. That was on Super Nintendo, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. It was.
Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers online co-op. We just knock it out of the park. Me and my squirrel friends, we collect nuts. You got to fight the big fat cat.
I didn't play a ton of NES.
Yeah, no, you were more of a Commodore guy.
Actually, I was.
We talked about this on the Super Nostalgia one, which you can listen. That's episode 64. Go check that out in the feed. Okay, so I guess, Kevin, fuck you. What Commodore game would you want on Nintendo Switch's server?
Oh, fuck, what was it called? I wanted to say Dwarf Fortress, but that's not at all.
No, that's one of your dreams again.
It must have been. Yeah, a fortress made of dwarves.
Yeah, no. The no fortress...
Been there, done that, am I right?
Well, while you think on it, here's a little bit more actual information. I know we like to goof here on the podcast. You know, half goofs, half info. But you got to get that info. So this will be launching September 2018. What this means is that those games that you've been playing online for free, like Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, all that stuff, you're going to have to pay for that now. So sorry, Splatoon owners. You guys are gonna have to pay. The other games lists here are things like Arms, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis Aces, Sushi Striker, etc. I'm sure Super Smash Brothers will also require it. How will I tell if a game requires Nintendo Switch Online membership for online play? We will share information on this topic at a later date. Guess what? It'll be marked on the box. I don't know why they're holding. It'll be marked on the box. Yeah. You already know about the pricing plans. There's other stuff where if you own multiple Switches, if someone buys an individual membership, if you can game share, all that stuff is there on their FAQ. And if you want to know about that, it's nintendo.com/switch/online-service. And then you get all the information. Generally speaking, how are we feeling about online Switch, guys? I just got a Switch, which we will talk about towards the end of the episode. Dan, you've had one for a while.
I have.
Kevin, you've had one for a while.
I have.
Have you guys played any of these online Splatoon or Mario Kart? Can you speak to the latency, how it works out?
Splatoon was flawless. I actually just got it this weekend, so I don't have a huge sample size to base it off of.
How many games do you think you've played online of it?
Probably just north of 15.
But no lag?
No lag. Really? None at all.
Because compared to, like, Dan, remember Super Smash Bros. Brawl on Wii?
Oh, my God.
That shit ran like...
A train wreck.
It was like a potato was running it.
Be like, I'm going to do this four-hit combo. One, two, and we're gone.
And disconnected.
Yep.
How did you find the Switch's online offerings from what you've played? I know you don't play a bunch of online stuff.
Yeah, I mostly played Mario Kart, and I feel like that's a game where, you know, fluidness of online services definitely matters.
Very important.
And I never had an issue. It was... Pretty cut and dry, pretty
how
good.
How many people do you have in those races? 8 or 16?
I believe it was 8.
Okay, because that's... when you get to player count, eventually the question's going to happen, can Nintendo Switch do PUBG? And the answer is no.
Actually, I heard PUBG's coming to Tamagotchi.
I hear PUBG's coming to N-Gage. And Fortnite is on calculators now, so...
Fortnite is on the table.
It's always been there. Speaking more of Nintendo Switch, it's just a lot of Nintendo Switch stuff. This just got announced. Mario Tennis Aces. Are you guys excited for this game? No, the game didn't just get announced, but are you excited for Mario Tennis Aces?
Nah.
You're not a tennis guy, Kevin?
Nah.
Me and Dan. Well, I won't speak for Dan, but we had the N64 Mario Tennis.
Oh, it was a highlight of my childhood.
Did you ever play, Dan, on Game Boy Advance, the Mario Tennis or Mario Golf, maybe?
No.
It was very much like Golf Story for Nintendo Switch, where it was like an RPG. I only bring that up because Nintendo Mario Tennis Aces will have what's called an adventure mode. So it's kind of like a campaign thing where I guess Luigi is in trouble because...
Of course.
Because Luigi's always in trouble.
Because of course, it's true.
And you got to save him and do the thing. I'm looking forward to this, but those who want to try it out before it comes out on June 22nd can take place in this online demo tournament... taking place from June 1st till June 3rd. Times vary from time zones. I believe it's like 3 p.m. Eastern to 3 a.m. Eastern, but it runs for 3 days.
If you win, do you get a free copy?
That's what I was curious about, because right now what they say is anybody who enters the tournament, aka just downloads the demo, will have this, quote, classic Mario skin. So in the normal game, Mario Tennis Aces, he just has his little tennis getup. If you play in this online pre-release demo, you'll have normal Mario
without a mustache, right?
Mario with no nipples, with his shirt off and the dog.
Right.
But the highest ranking Japanese players will go to a additional tournament later on in June. They haven't said anything as far as who will, or if there'll be any prizes for the top ranked players, but that's how this online is supposed to work. As you play, you get points, just like any other tournament. And at the end of it, someone's going to be ranked the highest. Yep. I think a free copy would be the smartest thing for them to
do. Inquiring minds want to know, Can you play as Tyrannosaurus Rex Mario in tennis?
I don't think so. What I do know is that there's going to be like 3 playable characters or 4 playable characters. And then as the game is played online, it's pre-release, more will be unlocked. I know it was a joke, but at the same time, I don't want it to be. I think it would be cool if
the T-Rexes have short arms.
But what if the T-Rex was so big that just either arm he could play doubles?
Or hit with his tail.
Oh, someone should hire Kevin over at Nintendo.
I'm one of the most powerful creative minds of our generation.
Yeah, that's what they said about Einstein, and he failed high school.
I didn't fail high school, I just did poorly.
Well, didn't we all? Speaking of things that were done poorly, and now people are really upset about it, people being, like, the government agencies in charge of it, console warranties. Y'all remember when you bought an Xbox 360 and then the thing got the red light and you're like, I want to open this and do some internet hacks. And then there's that little sticker. Yeah. The little sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Before, companies said, if you peel that sticker and you break that sticker, the warranty's done. I don't know why it took them so long, but now the government agency, I can't remember who the hell it is, but one of them is like, no, that's not how life works. Consumers are allowed to break open their seal. It's like specifically with the sticker thing. There's a whole other thing around it, but I just thought it was important, or it was a big thing, that now opening your consoles does not void your warranty, which is something that, historically speaking, across all video games, has been a truth.
True.
A universal truth.
What about baking your Xbox?
Well, that was the thing. It's just like, you got the 3 rings. People were like, wrap it in a towel.
And then put it in your oven.
Yeah, and it would work.
Go take a walk.
Go take a walk. Don't let your house burn down. I'm interested in this. I don't know if it's really going to change anything. I guess that's the question. Dan, now that you have free reign to open up your PlayStation 4, would you be more interested? Would this sort of thing make you more interested in soft modding a console or something like that? Or are you still at a place, Dan, where you're like, I don't want to open shit. I don't know this.
Yeah, I think I just wouldn't want to fuck with it at all. Like, there could be cockroaches or something in there. I mean,
specifically the PlayStations.
It's specifically PlayStations, yes. It's probably very dirty, and I'm a clean person, so I'd open it up and be like, I'm ready to mod, aka clean my PS4 for like 5 hours.
But that's the thing, is like, people who wanted to dust out their PS4s, their Xboxes before, you couldn't do that. You'd have to go through the vents.
Yeah.
Now, that is no longer a thing. So all you pirates or people who want a soft mod or whatever, you can still open that thing up and it will not void your warranty. I don't think there's an official date as to when that happens. I just know that it is a thing that has been bumping around in the news. There's more to it than that, but this is kind of... It's like they were going after these warranty stipulations and specifically targeting a few of these video game companies. So it wasn't like they went, oh, video game warranties are garbage, we need to change them. It was like they were looking a pass at everything.
Game Genie.
Game Genie. Yeah. Because when the Game Genie comes out of the cartridge.
Right.
And he asks you for your 3 wishes.
You really only get 2 because the 3rd one you wish for is freedom.
Yeah. Well, wait. You wished for your genie to be free?
Yeah, dude, that's the thing to do.
My genie has 1 wish, and well, I have 1 wish left, and I keep my game genie in the basement because you never know when you're just going to need an instantaneous nuke.
You need that third.
Oh, he said wishes. I thought my genie said dishes, so I have like 3 really nice china plates that I don't use.
That's well, did he not stop you when you wished for a second dish?
Like, I was really like, excited about it and just kind of sped through it, I'm not going to lie.
The 3rd one, he was like, you're going to let me go, right? And you're like, and the 3rd delicious
can
dish.
Can I get like a nice ramen bowl? And he's like, God, oh, come on.
You could have just asked for a feast, whatever.
Now I have to wait for another young Arabian boy to rub me.
You know he rubs the lamp, right?
Yeah. Speaking of things that are rubbing me, Rage 2. Well, you know what? Let's flip this, actually. So, you guys know Walmart, right?
No.
Have you ever been to a mart of sorts? Like a place where you could buy things?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Now imagine that place was surrounded by walls.
Been to S-Mart.
Okay, so now imagine S-Mart without the S, but plus walls.
Hmm.
Okay, tough to visualize, but I'm with you.
All right, so imagine that place...
Completely underwater?
Yeah, well... Might as well be. It's in Canada, so it's completely under ice. But it is a hockey rink. Imagine Walmart in Canada accidentally just like unveiled. I'm hungry for.
We just had a ton of meat.
Yeah, so dude, I got meat on the brain per usual. A Canadian Walmart website just leaked pretty much all of E3.
So, I gotta tell you, very uninspired box art on some of these.
Oh yeah, like half it was just spelled wrong. It was just black
it really
text
was spelled wrong. Like I was making a joke because they just released black boxes of like whatever system it was on, but half of them were spelled wrong.
Well, and this was the weird thing about this. Now that Rage 2 by Bethesda has been confirmed, this list gains a little bit more weight. But the thing that came out was the list came out. It had things that we kind of expected, some things that we didn't expect, but. Like Kevin said, like the box art was really bad. It looked like it was rushed. It was just, you know, it's like a black box with white text on it. And then some things like Forza Horizons 5 is one of them. I think you mean Forza Horizon 4. So when you have like these big issues with like they don't even have the name of the games right, you wonder if it's real. But then Rage 2, which was one of the biggest surprises on that list, a sequel to a game that came out in 2011, Bethesda just kind of bit the bullet and announced the game in full, giving us both a gameplay and announcement trailer.
And another set of blue balls from the lack of more Elder Scrolls.
Yes. Well, we'll get that. And that's what I wanted to put here is that everyone's kind of marketing this as like, Canada just leaked all of E3. What they did is they maybe made some guesses or games that will have release dates or be being put in the system. Working at GameStop and stuff, we would always get a list of games right around E3 that would be like placeholder dates. But there would still be stuff that would be announced. It would just have a date so far out or it was...
What if it's a honeypot?
Of?
What if it's a honeypot just to be like, oh man, they're going to get so excited over Rage 2. Just wait.
Rage 4.
Wait, we're going to release Rage 2 and then immediately release Rage 3 afterwards.
That's what they're going to do with Crackdown 3, man, on the Microsoft stage. I'm telling you, I'm calling it right now. But yeah, of this Canada E3 leak, there was, you know, Metroid Prime 4, which you already knew. You had something called, like, Insurgency Sandstorm, which I've now been seeing pop up on some PR websites. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But,
Destiny Comet?
Yes, which is the rumored September release.
It's a code name that they use for expansions.
Yeah. Was Crackdown 3 not announced already?
Crackdown 3 was announced.
I was going to say, yeah.
Crackdown 3 was announced like 3 or 4 years ago, and then it's been quiet ever since. But what I'm thinking they're going to do is that on the stage, because Microsoft, this is more for like the pre-E3 episode, but Microsoft usually, they like to be like, and we're releasing this, wink, wink. Today. That's what they did with the Xbox One Slim, with Game Pass, and with Sea of Thieves not hitting as hard. I think they're going to try and push again with the Game Pass, and I think...
Kind of like, what was it after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Cloverfield.
Yep.
So I think that's what they'll do at the very end of their conference. They're going to be like, and one more thing, you can download Crackdown 3 on Game Pass.
Fuck the Oscars. Thank today. You, E3.
Fuck the Oscars. Goodbye. So that'll be fun. You can look at the list if you want. Or don't, because at this point, some of the stuff, like we said, it's stuff that hasn't been announced that might be spoiled for you. So if you're going into E3 and you want everything to be a surprise, don't look at the list. But it was interesting to see about 6 or 7 things. The only thing I would say I was disappointed to see was an Assassin's Creed title.
Yeah.
Because I was really hoping they were going to do this whole 2 to 3 year release window. You're the biggest fan of Assassin's Creed on the podcast, Kevin.
See, it would be nice because Origins was a step in the right direction. And I think if they took some time off and really reinvested in the franchise, they could pull off another Syndicate.
But do you think this could be an Assassin's Creed, kind of like the way that they did the Dishonored standalone thing? Like it's another... Because Origins already had its 2 expansions, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe this is like a little
Death
standalone
of the Outsider sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
I just thought this year was going to be a Watch Dogs year. And it could still be, but...
I feel like... There's a lot of places that Assassin's Creed can go that they'd never fucking go, and I don't know why. Like, it would be so easy to please your fan base with these yearly releases. You could just shit out another Assassin's Creed game and just
pick
the right
background.
But I
don't like it when they shit them out, because when you look at Syndicate took time. When you look at Unity is one of the ones they pushed out really fast.
Right.
Uninspired. No one cared about the setting.
Origins was cool. Origins was a feast for the eyes, if it wasn't the best gameplay in the world.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I think what they did with that whole, the lecture mode was groundbreaking. I know that's kind of a big thing to say, but, like, what other game has done that? It's kind
of
cool.
Dan, are you aware of this? Assassin's Creed Origins, the whole historical mode kind of thing? Oh, yeah, Dan hasn't talked a while. Dan, real quick, favorite Assassin's Creed go?
I would probably say Origins. I have very little experience with the series. Played some of one, good portion of two, but Origins is probably the one I've vested most of my time in.
Actually, I am the odd one out here then. I guess Origins, I'm not saying that Origins isn't my favorite. Syndicate is my favorite, but I have not played enough of Origins in which to say anything besides that the water is the second best looking water in video game history.
Second to
Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. Also, the bugs in like the first couple weeks of Origins, fucking hilarious.
Oh, they're
all
fantastic.
The animals that were like just like morphed to shit.
Some
like
Skyrim level shit.
Oh yeah. It was very entertaining.
Well, and that's kind of with that big open world, and that's why I was hoping they weren't gonna rush another one out, because the thing I liked about Origins was just how dense it was.
Yeah.
How
there's a lot to do.
You could tell that they spent a lot of time, a lot of passion developing the stuff. So that was interesting. Rage 2, when I wrote this down in the agenda, it was still kind of like a speculative thing. Now that the gameplay trailer is out, I don't really want to talk about it too much, because we'll talk about it at E3.
I was just going to say, I feel like this is going to be one of those ones where I get hyped about it really late.
Yes.
I'm looking at the gameplay trailer and I'm like, you know, it looks good. It looks twitchy, kind of like classic id Software stuff. But it just looks like a lot of stuff I've seen before.
It looks well, what I'm hoping for at the very worst, it'll be comfortable in the way that Destiny is.
Yes. Yes.
It'll be a fun game just
to
turn off.
For that.
Yes. At the very max, it could be good, because Rage 1 was solid with gameplay. It was fun to play, but no personality, mm-hmm. very forgettable. It looks like it's kind of stealing the Borderlands thunder a little bit there, but we'll have to wait and see.
What's the name of that one game that was very similar to Rage? It was one of the launch titles for Xbox, I think.
Mad Max.
No.
Is it first-person shooter?
Oh, yeah. It's like the dude on the front cover, I think, has like a bandana over his face. There's a lot of like Molotov throwing.
Homefront?
No.
Brink.
No.
Yeah, was
Brink.
That it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit.
The great parkour shooter that was a letdown to everyone.
Yes, well, but yes. Brink was like, had no campaign. Brink. It was fully, jeez, I forgot about Brink. That was like 360.
Everybody forgot about
I don't know where
Brink.
That came from, too. Like, that was not in my memory.
Game.
Nice, Dan.
Thanks.
And Dan's like, I don't have anything to contribute. For the fucking pulling out the Brink.
We're going to be ramming it on for the next 5 minutes.
So that's a good 25 minutes of mainly Switch news. We will have way more news as we come into June with E3, of course. Guys, this episode, it's going to be a little bit of stuff we've already talked about. It's going to be a little bit of Nintendo Switch stuff. Brink is $13 on Amazon with Prime, which is about $12.
It's got 3 stars. That's generous. That's
only shocking. 2 left in stock, so you got to
get it soon.
It's literally $12 too much. You would have to pay me to play that game again.
Even if it was free, I think
it's been free several times and I refuse to download it. It's an okay game, but definitely not worth $13. Yeah, so games we're going to talk about. We're done with the news. About 25 minutes of news. Well, let's move on to the games. Dan Owen on the show. He's been playing some stuff we talked about last week, so we'll talk about it briefly. I got a Switch, so I've been playing some of this stuff. Let's just get into it. First off, Dan has yet to play this, but me and Kevin have. Golf Story. The reason I brought up earlier, Dan, the Mario Golf or Mario Tennis, I can't remember what it was on Game Boy, is very much what Golf Story is. Golf Story is this game where you kind of, Kevin, you just kind of like play as a guy who wants to be a good golfer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's just like, I want to be the good golf. And you go to a golf training course where everyone is just super pedantic. Is that the right word? Use the word? They're just like, they're very obnoxious. They talk shit on you all the time, even after you.
Pretentious.
Pretentious. Yeah. So you just do a lot of like, everything revolves around golfing. It's all like just hit A button 3 times. It's very easy to sit back. There's some actual golfing in it. I love the visuals of it. It's very pixel arty.
Mm-hmm.
I like the comedy behind it.
Silly, yeah.
I just think that the Switch is a good place for these small $15 titles.
Oh,
and
time.
Golf Story is a perfect example of that, because not only is it $15, so it's cheap, but it's like, I hear 15 to 20 hours, depending on how much you want to look around. And it's, like I said, it's simple. I'm the kind of person who likes to sit there, listen to a podcast or an audiobook, and just play something that's a little bit mindless. I find Golf Story kind of fits that bill pretty well.
I think one of my favorite things about it is that as you're playing the game, you can literally press the Y button and drop a ball and hit it wherever you want. Like,
eventually you get a glove where you can throw the ball, so you can just toss it at people's faces. There's just a lot of humor. Just like an easy example, the first time you go on a one-on-one golf battle with somebody, it's like a three-hole course. This guy, he's like, "You're absolute garbage at golf. You'll never know how good I am, blah, 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 blah." You go, you take your first shot, you land on the green, no problem, because it's easy. And then it flashes to him. It's his turn. He's just like, "Behold," smashes it just straight into the trees. And it lands there, goes back to him. He's like, "Exactly where I wanted it." There's a lot of goofy stuff in there. So definitely pick up Golf Story if you're interested. I believe it's on PC as well. I could be wrong,
can't
though.
Can't confirm, but...
I believe it's Switch and PC, but 100% Switch. If you have a Switch, it's a must get. It was like the first thing I got. I was really, really, really pleased with it.
Another good one that's going to be coming out soon is Dead Cells. Keep an eye out for that on Switch.
Yes, we'll be talking about that.
That's going to be so good for Switch.
I'm glad that it's getting official release on Switch, because last year we didn't really count. Well, we did count game preview stuff, but I'm glad that we can give it a real pass.
I feel like roguelikes especially will do very well on the Switch.
Dead Cells I'm looking forward to, just because of how much you guys have talked about it. Golf Story, Dan.
I haven't played it. I've seen like the first 30 minutes. I do love how it's just a golf course, but they make it feel like its own little village, like in Stardew. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I saw the first bit, and there's like the guy that steals like the pies from the trucks or something. I'm like, "Oh, look at this little mischievous asshole." And I mean, there's always a different character in play, and I like that feeling of it. You're progressing through a story with a lot of characters. You're not just playing golf.
And that's what I like, too, is that, like Dan said, it's kind of broken up into... Well, he saw the first 30 minutes. There's that first place that there's, like, the golf training course. There's eight other courses you go to. And, like, the second one you go to is, like, this swampy kind of lake where everybody is, like, a caveman. So when you talk to him, like, the first, like, one of the missions, this guy's, like... "You hit ball real hard at face." I'm like, "What?" And you just talk to him. He's like, "Are you ready?" And you hit yes. And then you're just standing in front of him and you have to max swing the ball right at his head. And like that is the... It's quirky. It's fun.
I wonder if that's an ode to like Shooty McFace.
From Borderlands? Oh, yes. It's that kind of thing. Speaking of Borderlands, Borderlands 3 will totally be announced at E3, even though Randy Pitchford keeps saying that it won't be. I don't believe you, Randy Pitchford. It'll be there. Second game here on our games list. I think I'm the only one to play it. Gorogoa?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Dan had maybe seen
heard of it,
a teeny bit of it. Mm-hmm. Gorogoa was a game that came out at the end of last year, like while we were in discussions of making our Game of the Year list stuff. It dropped. And it's really hard to describe. I highly recommend you look up a video of it, but only look up a video maybe 15 to 20 seconds to
understand. I know exactly what this game is. I forgot that I know exactly what this game is.
The game is a puzzle game. It kind of plays out across four panels. So imagine just like, a standard window, right? And those panels, you zoom in, you can interact with different pieces of it, and it changes the layout of the panel. And then you can kind of arrange those panels to form bigger pictures. It's very hard to describe, but what it gives you in gameplay is like this super intuitive feeling of discovery, all while it's just a very surreal experience. It's like $15. It's not going to run you very long. It's going to be like 2 hours from what I understand. So some people might be like, "Oh, $15, 2 hours, not enough." The way I look at it, that's about the price of a movie. It's one of the most intuitive and impressive puzzle games that I've seen. Published by Annapurna Interactive. We love them. They published What Remains of Edith Finch. So Gorogoa. Sorry, it's Gorogoa. If you haven't played it, you definitely should. I don't. Yeah, none of you guys have played it.
That's great for the plane ride. It'd be a good plane ride game.
Oh, yeah, I should have said Kevin will not be... Well, I mean, you'll be back because we'll be taking another week. We'll take a week off. But you're going to San Francisco, yeah?
Yep.
What's down in the San Fran?
A friend of mine. Okay. She's travel nursing, so we're going to visit her.
Where? You hitting up anywhere in specific?
I think we're going to try to hit the zoo. And
nice.
Alcatraz, like all the touristy stuff.
You're going to hit the zoo and then you're going to hit Alcatraz? How much money do you think you're going
to make? $20, maybe.
Robbing the zoo?
Yeah, and a gorilla.
The gorilla has like $50 in his pocket. And he's like, "God damn it."
Did you see that video of the gorilla stealing that lady's hat and putting it on?
No.
I'm going to teach him to steal.
That is, what if everything...
You can't arrest a gorilla.
Every cute time that an animal at the zoo has been like, I'm take off your hat, or like, I pickpocket it. This is mine now. All the customers are like, haha, and then in the back, there's the trainer rubbing his hand together. Yes.
And you just turn to the zookeepers, and they're just like, what do you want to get it? I'm not getting it.
I'll get
a banana?
And then later, like, once the zoo closes, he opens the door, and the gorilla's like, here is your money, sir. And he's like, now I can buy my 3 Big Macs on the way home.
But for real, who's going to arrest a gorilla?
This is just my way of telling you
that... You teach a gorilla to steal? It's the ultimate crime.
Feed a gorilla, happy gorilla. Teach a gorilla to steal and kill and then eat. That gorilla will last a lifetime.
He'll feed himself.
Yeah, exactly. Other things that I hear are in San Francisco.
Rice-a-roni?
Rice-a-roni. Movie premieres. Those are in, like, L.A., San Francisco area, right? I don't know, Fortnite, Thanos.
Good segue.
Wow.
Solid.
Avengers premiered.
Avengers movie
Thanos
and
is
Thanos.
In San Francisco.
I just want to say that, leave it to Fortnite, to the biggest video game in the world right now, to also nail the biggest crossover with the biggest movie. Who saw this coming?
Oh, it came out of fucking nowhere.
It did. It really did. Like,
well, everyone saw the comet stuff because they let it up so hard. Yep. But with all the Avengers, I'm so surprised they kept this under wraps. You see people finding out spoilers of Avengers because of action figures that have come out. And then the world's biggest video game all of a sudden just has a Thanos level.
I feel like
mode.
I feel like they were having like a focus meeting and they're like, all right, cool. The comet thing. That got us a lot of attention, that generated a lot of buzz. What's next? And some guy named Jeff is like, hey, what if we get Thanos? And they're like,
we can't get Josh Brolin.
He's like, no, just put that California raisin in the game. And they're like, they're like, Jeff, you're a genius. Let's do it tonight. And they just code marathoned overnight, and boom, Thanos.
Has everyone played Thanos mode?
No. I mean, I've played it. I haven't played as Thanos.
Exactly. Yeah, same.
Okay, so...
Because I fucking suck at that game.
There is... It's on my Facebook, so y'all can't see it. Maybe I'll post it on the Super Gamecast 64 group. Also, shout out to... Who is his face? I can't remember. Somebody on Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group said that they appreciated our goofs.
That was Kevin. Yeah, Kevin.
On 103. Kevin T. Thanks, Kevin.
Our new listener.
Yeah, thanks. We hear you. We love you. Thanks for listening. So I played Fortnite Thanos once. I was supposed to write an article for it for 90skid.com. So I was like, let's get a picture of Thanos. I drop in. Immediately, you notice that the zone is already super small.
Yeah.
So you drop in. I was at, like, I think Snobby or something. There was a roof. And I just camped. I camped in this attic with a sniper until it was, like, last 15 remaining. Got lucky. And had a porta fort, so I distracted Thanos, who had like 20 health, and somebody sniped him from across the map, and there was no one around. So I beelined, grabbed the Thanos fist,
and just laid waste and to the laid fart, waste farty forest.
To everybody. Farty forest, the
drippy docks,
right next to Alliteration Alley,
greasy grumbos. They it was a good time. I won.
Greasy quakes.
Are we gonna? Let's.
Yeah, this is gonna happen. This I'm trying to make it happen.
Burger Bayou.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Dopey Dungeon.
Ooh.
What about Spaghetti Sewers?
Happy Highway.
No highway is really happy.
Translucent Train Yard.
Oh, shit.
You can't even see it until you're
that's
in
like,
it.
Yeah. That's like cellar door. That's like one of those like two of the most
fucking
like,
Donnie Darko
interesting words ever. Translucent Train Yard.
Some Hogwarts shit.
That
right
is.
There.
Platform Harold. 3/4.
Harold, if you want the wizard wand, you're going to have to go to the Translucent
Make
Train
sure
Yard.
You touch the third rail. It transports you to a magical world.
After you're done touching me. Oh, that was Ronald talking to Harry.
I love that part of the movie.
If you want... movie 6 gets really dark.
Season 1, Young and Supple.
I'm only wearing the sorting hat, Harry.
if you want to play Fortnite Thanos mode, I highly recommend you hop on there now. How long is this going for? Do we know? Is it just like a week or two?
I think it was just a week. But I wouldn't be surprised if once the game actually launches, they do kind of like an Overwatch rotation where they just take...
Like 50 versus 50.
Yeah.
They'd be stupid not to bring it back.
Exactly.
After paying for all that license.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't like, there? What was the one? There was 50 versus 50, and was there blast mode?
It was teams of 20.
Yeah.
There was the explosives only.
Okay, remember that.
There was the
was that mayhem mode or whatever?
What was one where it was
snipers only?
It just I keep hitting this desk that we have this on. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You're gonna hear it on the Sorry for the bum bums.
Just imagine it's Thanos jumping and then just lasering your dumb ass to death. Yes. Because that's all that happens in Fortnite.
That's exactly what happened.
Destiny still arrives. It's a good time. But yeah, well, I think you... There was one where they chopped nothing but golds. That was what it was.
Oh, yes, the all legendary.
And everything was just, there was so much loot. Fortnite's a good time. I got a battle pass for season 4, which is something I didn't do.
I got a battle pass in season 3 and I played twice.
Here's something I like about the battle pass season 4, and then we'll stop talking about Fortnite because we've beaten the dead horse here.
I think everyone has.
Yes. The cool thing about the battle pass for Fortnite season 4 is that the first skin you get and the last skin you get have challenges associated with it, and then you can unlock different pieces of armor. So not everybody has the same skin. You can kind of customize. They also added sprays and stuff like that, and they did a good amount of cool stuff with the map. So if you haven't checked out Fortnite since season 4 launch, now is the time. Give it a look. What to talk? Omen Sight. We're going to talk about this next. Omen Sight, I'll talk about it real briefly. It's a game. It's on PlayStation 4. It's on PC as well.
Doing 10?
Yeah. Okay.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, explain if you're...
It's a segment that we do. We haven't done it probably since last season, actually, where we challenge each other to describe a particular game in 10 words. Not even or less, just 10 words. So he has to briefly summarize what Omen Sight is in 10 words, and then we'll continue to cover it anyway. But
what music do you want? At 40 minutes, what music do you want? If you don't pick, it's just going to be the Millionaire music.
How about the Golden Saucer music from Final Fantasy VII in honor of the remake for Xbox and PS4?
Solid choice.
Okay, you'll text that to me because I think you said that pretty fast. But here we go. get your hands up. Okay, this is Omen Sight in 10 words or less. Start the music now. This is hard. Hack? No. This is hard is not 3.
Oh, no. That was 10. Insane. Sorry, you blew it.
Well, GG. All right, never mind. All right. Hack and slash action with time traveling mechanics. Were you going to count the sucking in the air as one?
Yes.
It's good. That's how it always ends.
That's just a cop-out.
I know. Okay, let me explain this game, because it's very hard to explain.
Not even, like, giraffe nipples or something.
Giraffe nipples. That put it on the back of the box. Super Gamecast 64 says giraffe nipples. So Omen Sight is a game where it takes place in this war-torn world. There's, like, these animal tribes. You got, like, a tribe of cats, tribe of rodents and stuff. Long story short, there's this conqueror guy who's taken over the whole place, and it's they're on the very brink of destruction. They're destroying their land. You are the Harbinger of Death. Sent to prevent the end of the world. The gameplay is standard hack and slash. You know, you light attacks, heavy attacks, you unlock some specials as you move on. But the way the gameplay works out is as such. You play the first level, and there's some characters who die. And when important characters die, as the Harbinger, you form a bond with their soul. At the end of this first level, a giant worm breaks through the earth and destroys the world. And you are sent back to the beginning of the 4 days. But if you have witnessed somebody die and formed a bond with their soul, you can start and follow their day. So you go through different levels. You're experiencing the same day, but you're finding information out about this war, about who did this mysterious murder. It's all wrapped around this murder. But every time you meet a new character, you go through that day from their perspective. And as you learn information, you can change the routes to different people. You get the titular name Omen Sight. That is a ability to force someone to have a vision. So using that, you can disrupt their path. It's kind of confusing, almost like Gorogoa. You kind of have to see it in action. But what it is it's like a mixture of hack and slash with this really cool narrative that is somewhat linear, but allows player choice and gives a good amount of replayability. So like there's 4 characters that I'd say for the first 2 acts, there's like 4 characters that you can follow on their day. Anytime you play as them, it's not the same. Anytime you revisit one of those characters, you're going to give them the vision that alters their path. For example, like the first time you follow this bear guy, you know, he goes from the tavern to the woods to the castle, and then it's the end.
Does he shit in the woods?
No, but he should.
The bear doesn't shit in the woods?
No, he doesn't.
Shit, now I can't say that anymore.
No, you can't. At least not in reference to Omen Sight. The bear shit in my mouth, though, because I told him, like, I gave him a vision of something, and then from the tavern, he skipped over the forest. He didn't even give himself a chance to shit. Went right to the castle. And then that changes the rest of the story. It changes how the narrative plays out, etc., etc. It's just a really cool concept on a pretty decent foundation. That game came out the 15th, I believe. So you can play that. It's a thing you can get. Omen Sight. I recommend it. It's not like the best game of all time, but for 15 or 20 bucks, it is well worth it, especially if you're a fan of hack and slashes, kind of like old school God of War or like a Devil May Cry, but not as fast. Let's talk about this, speaking of the devil, because Dan has just been playing this. Kevin, you just started playing this. I talked about it the most last time, so I'm going to take a back seat. God of War for the PlayStation 4.
God of War?
Tyler's not here. I can take the mantle.
Okay. God of War for the PlayStation 4. If you guys listened to 103, you heard us talk about it quite a bit. Tyler is not here. I pointed to Kevin and said Tyler, so that's why I tried to cover it up. Kevin, you are still in the beginning hour-ish?
I am, yes.
What do you think so far? Because the game has a little bit of a slow start.
God, it sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
It's such a trash game. What is this, 10 out of 10, Matt? You don't even know what you're talking about.
Boy, let me tell you, it's good.
Lean closer to the microphone. Tell them what you think. Because at this point, have you fought the Stranger?
I have.
Okay, so that's like the first. Once you fight the Stranger, you kind of get an idea of what God of War is going for. Do you like the cinematic approach? What do you think of the combat? Dan, I'm going to be asking you these questions as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a back seat. You guys talk. Do the thing.
The combat's really good. As I look through the combat trees, though, I see all these different button presses, and I'm like, I'm probably just going to use like one or two of these, even though there's probably a really like great feeling of chaining together some of these attacks, even though that's not like the point of the game anymore. It's like it's almost too multi-layered, although the slow introduction to the different combat mechanics makes me think that I'll probably catch on. Usually it takes me a little bit and I feel very daunted by it, and then I just, before I know it, I pick it up. But realistically, it's fun. I really love the weight of the Leviathan axe as it snaps back into your hand. Like, one of my favorite things to do is just throw it and get it stuck in something and then just run away. And then, like, let it fly back to me and just hear, like, ding, 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 ding. It sounds like throwing a handful of china down the stairs.
The combat does evolve.
My dishes.
The combat does evolve, but there's no spoilers on this episode. I'm just telling Dan, just so we know.
Yeah, I will keep it.
So, Dan, what do you think? Because Dan plays a lot of the Bloodborne's.
Yes.
And that's what I would say. This is like a mixture of old school God of War with, like, they've played Bloodborne and Dark Souls. You can tell.
Yes. I don't know what difficulty you guys are playing on. I enjoy a challenging game, so I didn't go the hardest difficulty, but the second hardest, so I can still dial it back. And I was stuck for that first 2 hours, maybe like on half the mob fights, honestly. And I enjoyed the challenge. It was something that, you know, you slowly work at it, and you're like, all right, this isn't working. Let me try this tactic. And I do agree with what you said earlier about how they throw a lot of different combat styles at you, because even I'm at endgame at this point, and there's still stuff that I've already bought and unlocked in the skill tree, but I don't use it because I'm just so... The muscle memory is already there for my combos that I do. So it's still enjoyable, though, and it's nice to have those options if I want to use them and mix it up.
I do want to piggyback off of what you were saying about the difficulty. I'm playing on normal, and I've died a lot.
Yeah, it's a tough, it's, challenging game.
I died on normal quite a bit. But to that point, like you guys said, when you start off, it feels like you don't have enough gold or currency to unlock like anything at any given point, and then eventually you have so much gold currency that you can just buy everything, but by that point you have kind of made your mark, you have done what you want to do as far as how you're going to fight and stuff like that.
I feel like there was a definitive switch from the older saga to this newest one in almost like a quantity over quality type deal, because in the older games, you're just, you know, it's just so many enemies and you're hacking and slashing and not really paying attention to what you're doing, whereas in this one, it's very few enemies, but you're really paying attention to what you're doing, and they just made those few enemies a lot harder, which really makes a huge difference.
I really appreciate the nuance that they've injected into this game.
Yeah.
For example, the diary that Atreus keeps updates as you fight. So you'll fight a mob, and it'll be a really basic mob, and you know, like you'll block one thing, and he'll update the diary. So it'll say like, "Oh, this particular attack can be blocked," it seems, and then like they'll sling fire at you, and it like he'll be like, "Oh, this variant can throw fire," and it's little things that give you a tactical advantage if you actually take the time to read it. And plus, it's written from his voice. It's not so...
That's what I like the most about it.
It's not so clinical as I made it sound. It's really cool to see the world from his view, especially since you come across runes that only he can read in some cases.
A perfect example of that is like one of the very first entries in his journal is when you fight these wolves, and these wolves are like hungry, Dan got beat up by those wolves. I killed them in like two hits. That's what normal is like. Dan died a lot. But you fight these wolves and they're starving, and so you kill them, and then when you read the journal entry, since it's written from Atreus' point of view, you know, he says, we had to fight these wolves, blah, 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 blah. Dad says that they blah, 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 but they were just hungry. I felt bad. It's a good thing that Dad won't read this. So it's like you have this secondary look on the whole entire journey through Atreus' eyes. And like Kevin said, it's very well written. I thought that was one of the strongest parts. In general, I think that... Well, and this is an argument that we'll have to talk at the end of the year because of spoilers inherently, but without getting into anything, what do you think is the strongest element of the narrative? And Kevin, even you can speak to this. Do you think it is the story itself or the relationship and the conversations between Atreus and Kratos that are better? Dan would know more about this because of where the story goes and stuff, but do you think the meat is the relationship or the adventure? Because I firmly think that the best part of that game is the relationship between Atreus and Kratos.
I agree, but I think they are setting the stage for the more mythological aspect to be the highlight in the next one. You'll get like a little bit less of the banter because those characters are already fleshed out,
yes.
Whereas they'll really dive into the Norse mythology and start exploring more characters, or at least just showing you more gods in general.
Yeah, because without spoiling anything, I felt like it was a little bit light in comparison to like where God of War 3 is.
They mention a lot of them, from what I understand.
Yes, but you don't see much.
Right.
Because God of War 3, it's like every 10 minutes, it's like Zeus, like everybody.
I'm going to disagree. From my perspective, I think the story is the most compelling part because I feel like the relationship is really laid out for you in a way that's like, you kind of already understand what's going on. You have this built-in contention between Atreus and Kratos that's initially there. Like, some of the best lines are just both of them, one of them being snide with the other, like the whole... well, where do we go hunting? And he goes, in the direction of deer, yeah. Or something like
that.
Well,
and that's, they it evolves over time. And
but that being said, what I do like is how mysterious the story is. You don't know why Kratos is here initially. You know, like, they don't reveal anything to you up front. You literally are dropped right in the middle of it. And shit just starts happening to you.
Like I said on 103, it's almost like the game was made for people who haven't really played the franchise.
Absolutely.
So you're on the same stage. Destiny 2 Warmind, it's a DLC. I'm not 100% done with it. It's better than Curse of Osiris.
Oh, big time. Already, it's alone. I'll be brief because we both haven't played enough of it, I think, really to speak at length on it.
Yeah, I finished it. Kevin's finished it, but we're still on those grinding
areas. Yeah. There's still a lot to do. But the social area alone, and by social area, I don't mean like the tower or the farm or anything.
Yes.
I mean like the new Hellas Basin in Mars.
Yes.
It's fantastic. It's so much better than Mercury was. Mercury was like a backyard, whereas Hellas Basin is like
a place.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like
featured place.
The only problem I have is that there's some lull time between the public events, which is a thing. But
yeah.
Destiny 2 Warmind, generally speaking, I've seen a lot of people giving it like fives and sixes, complaining about repetition, that they reuse missions as strikes and stuff like that. This is what I'll say. It's $20. It's like five-ish hours of really solid content, and you have a seven-ish hour raid layer based on current completion times. And all the contents, it has two of the most memorable boss fights in all of Destiny 2. I'm not talking like that, just the expansions.
Oh yeah,
like those boss fights are some of the best in the entire game. And if that's not enough for you, then you're playing the wrong game.
The other thing is they brought back the feeling of Destiny, which is to say, meaningful grind.
Yeah,
that's what Destiny always was, and everybody loved it. And then they changed it, and they're like, "What the fuck?" And now they brought in a game that didn't have the meaningful grind. Everybody's like, where's the grind? And they gave the grind back, and now everybody's like, fuck the grind.
I played Curse of Osiris. I finished it. We beat the raid lair, and then I did not play after that. Warmind, as soon as I was done with the main mission, I continued.
Yeah,
I did because there's a reason for you to continue, even though you know it's a grind, even though you know it's just a supplementary thing to get you to do the middle stuff.
And I don't know about you, and I don't mean to be like one of those BuzzFeed teasers, but like the last scene in the campaign was so fucking good.
Oh yeah, no, it's real
good. It's like, it's worth every second of that. I mean, the campaign itself is still fun, but like the capstone of the campaign is actually worth getting to and witnessing. It's really cool.
There's some good stuff in that. We'll talk about it more towards the end of the year when we talk about like best DLCs and stuff. We're getting to like 55 minutes. This is one of those shorter episodes. Like we said, not a lot of news. I just got a Switch, so. I think
if you want to do like a book club style thing, this is a total joke, but like realistically, I actually just picked up Wizard of Legend for Switch. So I'm going to be playing that probably for the next 2 weeks or so before we record, and then we'll talk about it in the next show. So if you guys are listening to this and you kind of want to play along at home, post in our group. Like, we're trying to get a little bit more audience interaction, so like we can chat about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Show me what you found. It's a roguelike, so like, not everything is linear. You'll unlock things at a different rate than I will, so it'd be cool to talk about it.
To that point, I am on playing Golf Story. I'm also playing Gorogoa, so if you want to get any of those games, and like we said, just post about it in the discussion group. That would be sweet. As we wrap up here, I just want to plug a few things. If you want to read my articles, my reviews, and some of Kevin's stuff, you can go to a 90skid.com. You can reach us on Twitter. The official show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64. If you want to reach out to me personally, I'm at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
Dan does not have one, but you can find him on YouTube. Dan, what's that channel?
My channel is The Dan Showin.
One more time. The
Dan Showin on YouTube. Check it out. I've got...
Showin is S-H-O-W-E-N.
Yes. I date birds. I play games.
We'll link that.
Yes, it'll be somewhere. It'll be somewhere in the post, or you'll find it. YouTube, The Dan Showin. Dan's on there. If you want to email us that's sgc64@gmail.com. Once again, and as always, if you leave us a review, I can't talk today. So we had Chinese food.
Oh my god, we had so much food.
I've been holding my stomach because it's been grumbling, and I'm like, shut up.
I've been trying very, very hard to not just fart so loudly.
Hell yeah, IGN 5 out of 10. That's what I give this podcast episode. No, I'm just kidding. If you give us a 5 out of 5 star, or give us an any star rating, the Review Robot 2K12 3000, we'll read it live on the show. We got some stuff coming up next week. Well, not next week. In 2 weeks, we'll have our pre-E3 episode. Maybe we'll do a mobile episode. That's what's on the docket. We're going to have an episode that's all about mobile games because we love mobile games.
We do.
We'll have our pre-E3 episode. We'll have our E3 episode, of course. Games coming up next week. We got that David Cage game, Detroit Become Human. I'll be playing that. State of Decay 2 is towards the end of the month. And then they also have, at the end of May, we have Street Fighter Anniversary Collection, Sega Genesis Classics, and Agony. Those are all on like PS4, Xbox, Switch, all across the board. So a bunch of stuff.
Bloodstained should be coming out soon too, right?
Which what?
Bloodstained?
Bloodstained, the 8-bit
right.
thing.
The stretch goal.
Yes, that I think is next month or this month. Look up, I think it's called Bloodstained Curse of the Moon?
Yes.
That will be coming out on Switch and stuff like that. And then I'm sure at E3 we'll hear more about the actual Bloodstained.
About time.
Yes.
They anticipated a March 2018 release.
Kevin, you have game facts for us. At the end of the show, as always.
I do. I have two little short ones for you today.
Oh, two short little game facts?
You know, they're both very brief. One of them,
be sure you talk in the mic.
It's current. It's current as of 2011, so I don't know if this is still true.
That's when Rage came out.
well, I can see why. It is illegal for kids under 16 and under in South Korea to play video games past midnight.
Really?
It is known as the Cinderella Law.
I wonder if it has something to do with StarCraft 2. that's not even a joke.
Team. They have high school varsity teams for StarCraft.
That's what I mean. Like, I wonder if that's some, like, how in the U.S. if you're under 16, you're not allowed to work past 12.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's like some sort of thing.
Could be.
Second
one.
Don't move to South Korea if you're a late night gamer.
Second one is, Rockstar Games paid to receive negative press for Grand Theft Auto.
I don't doubt that.
I don't either.
Negative press for Grand Theft Auto is kind of the best press you can get. Because it's, when you're talking about Grand Theft Auto, that's what people want to hear. That it pushes the envelope, that it does some crazy things, and all sorts of stuff. Dan's grumbly tumbly means that we're going to be done with the show.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Fine.
Nobody's going to be able to hear that.
Thank you, Dan, for filling.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Dan will be on, I'm sure, towards the end of the year. He's going to be around. He just graduated college. Dan, good job.
Thanks.
Way to go, man.
Thanks. I got my degree in Kingdom Hearts knowledge.
Yeah. We were going to have a fun little bit where he talked about Kingdom Hearts, but we just don't have the time for that today.
He got a BA in Dream Drop Distance.
Yes, I know all those
His final GPA was 352 over fucking six
how to get,
or whatever.
How to get Donald to heal you 401.
No, no one, even the masters don't know that one.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. If you want to check out some other podcasts, there's Shonen Trash. That is an anime show. It's our good friends Vince, Lauren, and Kevin. There is
Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yes.
And our buddies from Almost Better Than Silence.
Yes, Almost Better Than Silence. They're a fantastic video game show, Doug and Co. Shout out to the Mabim Bambinos podcaster group.
Yep.
We love to see you guys listening to the show and stuff. And thanks to everybody who's just been following the new feed.
Yeah.
We're getting decent numbers again, so it's good that y'all can follow instructions.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
End of the world.
Season 4. It's been a good one.
Yeah.
It's still going. All right, guys. We'll see you next-ish week for pre-E3 or mobile stuff. Till then, leave us a review, download us, tell all your friends, because we don't advertise for the show. Anything that you want to do to let people know about us is awesome. I think at this point, they're, what, level 4? Yep. This episode is worth, 69. Nice. XP. So you guys are level 4. If you've been listening since the very beginning, y'all are, prestige level 8. You're using Game Genie shit. That's crazy. So thanks for listening. You've leveled up.
You get that classic Mario skin.
Stick it to your mom. Bye.